My name is Chance Robinson, and I'll be discussing Pimple Mound Formation in East Central Texas. This is a project undertaken by Dr. Tom Hallmark and myself. So, for those not familiar with this soil microfeature, I'll offer a definition. They are circular to elliptical domes, coarser in texture than the surrounding soil. They have basal diameters ranging from 3 to greater than 30 meters, heights of 30 centimeters to greater than 2 meters above intermound levels. And they're commonly referred to as Mima mounds, but also prairie mounds, hog wallows, among other names. There have been over 30 different mechanisms of origin proposed over the past two centuries. Most widely suggested today include Aeolian deposition, the work of burrowing animals, namely the pocket gopher, the remnants of accretion ridges as set forth by Krenitsky in 1949. That'll be the focus of today's talk, as well as water erosion and or deposition, seismic activity, and a number of other theories. Pimple mounds in Texas are distributed across the eastern portion of the state. They're also found in eastern Oklahoma, portions of Arkansas, Louisiana, Missouri, and similar features are found throughout other portions of the United States, and have also been similar features have been attributed to similar methods of origin in other parts of the globe. Our study focused on Leon County, Texas, which is county seat of Centerville, and this study area was selected number one, the presence of pimple mounds, but also the presence or the availability, I should say, of LIDAR. the airborne LIDAR available for this county enabled, LIDAR light detection and ranging is created by the high-frequency pulse laser beam, which is scanned from an airborne platform or airplane. The land surface excluding gives a clear picture of the land surface excluding the vegetation, and enables the creation of very high-resolution digital elevation models with a high-accuracy spatial resolution and vertical accuracy. Before we get into the meat of the talk, I'd like to offer a quote from a geographer in 1934 from the University of Cincinnati, John Rich, and he just mentioned that in a flight from Dallas, Texas to Texarkana, as he observed these features and some of the spatial orientation from the airplane window, that he felt that flight might be the opportunity for the future discovery of their origin. So this brings us to some of the images that sparked our curiosity from Leon County and the Trinity River terraces. As you can see, there's a very curvilinear pattern of the rows of mounds, as well as the adjacent ridges that are found within the T1 terrace in this case. Our sampling methods took this into account. We transected across mounds perpendicular to the orientation of the rows of mounds and these linear ridges. we sampled by horizon to a depth, including the river bed load. And these particle size distributions were analyzed on a clay-free basis with special emphasis on a possible finding upward trend that would be indicative of a fluvial origin. We sampled five sites within the study area, two T1 sites, one T2 site, one T4 site, and one T5 site. And I'll be discussing two of those sites today, one of the T1 sites, which we sampled from cores, and one of the in a T2 site, which was sampled from both cores and later from a continuous trench. This is an image from the T1 site. The relief of this mound is about 1 meter. This is gives you a clearer picture of the mound, and these contour intervals are on a 25-centimeter interval, so you can see that the transect was actually across the mound perpendicular to the rows of mounds. Also note the not only the what we propose to be the truncation of this former accretion ridge, but also the beginning signs of truncation within an adjacent ridge that has still retained its features as a ridge. This is a plot of the sand and silt fraction with depth. In the blue, you'll see the summit of that pimple mound on the T1 terrace. In red, you'll see the adjacent intermound. It was actually the most southwest intermound within that former transect. In both cases, there's a fining upward trend. As one might expect, within the intermound, there's a bit finer, finer textured sand and silt fraction as compared to the higher ridge or pimple mound. The T2 site, we sampled originally from cores. We returned and trenched this site along the former transect. And along that trench, we also plotted the top of the argillic horizon for future investigation. This shows the transect of this T2 pimple mound. And in this case, you can more clearly see what has been an incomplete truncation of this adjacent ridge, and these clear row of mounds adjacent to that ridge that we transected. And this shows the two soil profiles, which will be plotted on a mean part on a clay-free basis in the next slide. The typic haplodelph on the left was the classification of the mound summit, and the easternmost intermound head-on was classified as an aquatic glossudelph. These, not only do they show a similar trend to the T1 site, you can also see that they closely follow, both pet-on closely follow each other with regard to possibly the deposition by the river during the formation of both the accretion of this old river channel as well as the accretion upon the ridge today, or ridge that is today a pimple mound. So if these pimple mounds represent accretion ridges, and if the intermount areas within the transect represent a former river channel, what might we expect the bed load to show? In the case of the T1 mound, given the curvilinear pattern of these ridges and rows of mounds, we expect that the river at this time was moving from right to left in its meanders. And we see that the channel is just a slightly deeper with elevation on the right as it reached before it retreated or moved left in this photograph and began to deposit what we expect were point bar deposits across the mound, what is today the mound. The T2 site, in addition to showing the river bed load, we also have the argillic horizon. But on this site, there were slightly coarser materials, possibly a higher velocity of the river. There's also a little bit somewhat of a deeper possible cutting of the channel in this site as compared to the previous site. And in this case, the river is expected to have been moving from right to left, as you see it on this diagram. And there is a slightly lower bed load beneath the rightmost pedon number 2. In conclusion, within the study area, we found that the Pimple Mounds to be of effluvial origin. These mounds are thought to have began as accretion ridges on Point Bar deposits, as evidenced by the relationship of river bed low to pimple mounds, as well as a vertical finding upward sequence found within mounds in the study area. The erosional segmentation of these curvilinear rows of pimple mounds is thought to have been influenced most predominantly by climate and vegetation. I wish to acknowledge Donna Prohaska, research assistant and lab supervisor at the Soil Characterization Lab at Texas A&M, as well as USDA NRCS Texas Soil Survey staff for assistance in the project. And with that, we'll open to questions. Yes, sir.
It's just a point of perhaps clarification. I understand the hypothesis that they're fluvial origins, but how do you get the mound, the circular feature, then superimposed across the lava and so on?
It's a very good question, and I suppose it would only be truly a hypothesis in that climate and vegetation, without having a clear picture of the vegetation at the time that this truncation occurred, it's difficult to say. But one theory might be the root balls, if there were large trees across this landscape, there might have in a warming period where you had a huge die-off of vegetation, you might have had retention of some of these mounds. There's really no clear picture at this point as to how this circular pattern may have truly occurred.
Did you talk about the age of this, when this might have happened?
The T1 and T2 terraces of the Trinity River have been placed in the late Pleistocene, Deweyville Formation. So these mounds, in that case, would have formed sometime within the past 20, 30,000 years, but there's no true estimate as to the actual age of these features on the T1 and T2 terrace. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. There is a difference in, namely, the sand and silt fraction. You do see some differences as related to possibly with the river velocity and the movement of sediments at that time. Some of the T4 terraces showed a greater amount of, which the T1 terrace had a lot of very fine sand particles and silt particles, but the T4 showed even a greater accumulation of silt particles during that time. From those soils are possibly in 50 to 100,000 year range, but that's just that's not verified, shall we say.
Anything else?